Well, good morning, everyone. It's great, again, that we can celebrate and gather together and celebrate this amazing Christmas season. And something that's been on my heart this year is that, you know, when we think about Christmas time, we think about baby Jesus, or we think about presents, or we think about just all of the things that Dennis mentioned in his prayer. You know, we get kind of caught up in decorations that we forget the point. And so today, our Communion Advent series, we're going to talk about the joyful anticipation of the baby Jesus and what that means for us today. So when you guys think of anticipation, what comes to mind? Anxious waiting, perhaps? Perhaps waiting for a flight? Christy and I, when we were in Puerto Rico, we were delayed 2.5 hours to fly back to the U.S. And that flight, you know, it would have been easy if it was like 7 o'clock at night or, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But our flight was supposed to leave San Juan to Newark, New Jersey at 1 a.m., and it was delayed till 3:30. So talk about joyful anticipation. That wasn't really joyful, but you get my point with anticipation. We were ready to go home. It was a fun 8 days, but nonetheless, we were anticipating to go home and start life together as a married couple. But there's another anticipation I want to talk about today, the one of Mary anticipating her birth of her son, our Lord Jesus. And today's text will be in Luke chapter 1, verses 38 through 55. So holidays and vacations are a time of celebration and relaxation that will hopefully bring about joy in our lives for periods of time. The Christmas season is no different. Many of us long to be with family or friends during this time, where we call fond memories of Christmases long ago, drink cocoa, watch various Christmas movies. Yet sometimes the anticipation of our Savior can be a vague memory, as our busyness can draw out the importance of why we celebrate on December 25th. I don't know about you, but I cherish Christmas more this year, perhaps because of COVID last year. I was kind of gridlocked in Kansas City with my parents, and I love them, but couldn't really go anywhere. Our church didn't have a Christmas Eve service, and it kind of felt like, you know, just the world kind of passed by Christmas last year. But as I mentioned before, I felt really convicted this year to preach about what does Christmas mean. C.S. Lewis once said that heaven is wherever Christ enters, even this life, and indeed heaven entered this life 2,000 years ago through our Lord Jesus being born. Let that be our reason that we celebrate this year, that heaven came down through our Lord. And then, obviously, our eternal hope is that one day we can be in heaven with our Lord Jesus. But we can rest assured that we have a piece of heaven with us right now in our hearts as Jesus reigns in our lives. If you're struggling for a reason this season to celebrate, let that be a reason that Jesus is hope on earth. As we celebrate this Christmas season, let us pray for a heart of joyful anticipation for our Savior, as he did come, as we know, the Bible tells us he came and died for our sins. But Scripture promises a future return of the Lord, and that promise is which we have hope. Jesus' mother Mary, too, had a joyful longing before the first Christmas. The longing of her baby to be born. She longed to cherish the Lord. She longed to love him and hold him and swaddle him, cuddle him in swaddling clothes, and was beyond thankful for what God was going to do through her. What the Spirit did through her was conceive a miraculous baby boy that would be perfect in every way. Jesus would be holy in every manner and would be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Luke chapter 1, verse 38 through 35, we see Mary and Martha's joyful anticipation of the coming Savior. Not Mary and Martha, wow. Mary and Elizabeth. And today we'll reflect on the heartfelt response of the good news that came to them through the angel Gabriel. So we'll be in Luke chapter 1, verse 38 through 55. So I'll give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 1, verse 38 through 55. Actually, we'll be starting in verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home. And so if you guys remember last week, Zechariah is Elizabeth's husband. So Zechariah is a Jewish priest who is the second cousin to our Lord. And if you remember from last week, we learned that Elizabeth was also expecting a miraculous child because she was older in age and wasn't supposed to have kids, but the Lord blessed her with that. So this is what's going on, some background. So at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and she greeted her cousin Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped with her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is this child you will bear. For why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to meet me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Imagine that. The sound of Mary coming prompted the Holy Spirit to move in John in such a way inside of Elizabeth that the presence of the very Lord gave them joy. That's just so awesome. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby jumped for joy. Blessed is she, Mary, who has believed that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Then Mary said in response to Elizabeth, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my soul rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble servant, or humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed many mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Then Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. And so I forgot to mention some historical context there. And it says Mary went to the hill country Judea. That wasn't just like a walk to Saxonburg. That would have been like, you know, here to Pittsburgh. And the terrain of Israel is not flat. I know growing up, before I went to Israel, I thought Israel was very flat, but it's actually very mountainous. And it would have taken her 3.5 days to get to Judea. I don't know about you, but sometimes going to Pittsburgh, it can be kind of chaotic, especially if you go 28. So I couldn't imagine it was like walking uphill pregnant to Judea. Just imagine driving down 28 during Christmas time. I'm sure it's pretty chaotic. But anyway, that's not a good comparison, but one that I thought of. So instead of complaining, Mary endured this journey to Judea to tell her cousin what God was going to do through her and to share the goodness about this miraculous baby. The Life Application Bible Commentary says that Mary was a woman who put her faith in action. She not only says, she always says, "Let your words be done," meaning God's word, but she also hurries to see God at work in her life. You see, Mary was so excited that she ran pregnant with our Lord to the hill country of Judea. Talk about a lady in action. I don't know if I'd run if I was pregnant three and a half days uphill. But obviously, the Lord touched her in a special way. For she was told by the angel Gabriel that Elizabeth had conceived a child in her old age. But what if we had the same excitement when we tell Jesus about how he's touched us in our lives? What if we had the same anticipation of the Savior every year, not just around Christmas, and show that to those around us? Luke then tells us that upon Mary's arrival at her cousin's house, Elizabeth burst into joy, brought on by the power of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth had no prior knowledge of Mary's miraculous pregnancy. And so the only way that Mary knew about Elizabeth being pregnant was that the angel Gabriel came and told her. So Elizabeth knew that she was getting pregnant as well because the same angel Gabriel came to tell her. But they didn't know. Mary knew that she was pregnant, but Elizabeth didn't know at all what was going on. So this first meeting when Mary came to see her was the first time that she knew that she was with child who would be our Lord. This was through the illumination of the Holy Spirit revealing it to her that Mary was pregnant. Elizabeth was so overcome by the Holy Spirit's power that she burst into joyful shouting over the joyful news that she had just received from the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine what the joyful shouting would be like, but hopefully the Pittsburgh Steelers turn around their season today and have some joyful shouting at the end of the year and hopefully go to the Super Bowl. That'd be awesome. But Pitt won, so that's some joyful shouting. So just imagine I know it doesn't compare to what was going on here, but just imagine joyful shouting at a Super Bowl, but 10 times that. Shouting over the joyful news that she had received from the Spirit. John Elizabeth's womb was also overcome with the Holy Spirit's joy that day as he leaped in his mother's womb over beyond this amazing announcement. And so I was reading in the commentary here that this proves pro-life, that, you know, John wasn't even, he was a fetus, he was a baby, but he wasn't a full, you know, term baby. But this proves that the very fact that John was able to express emotion through the Holy Spirit, this proves pro-life. That God was very, indeed, working in kids' lives before they even were born in this world. And so I just thought it was an interesting commentary on this passage. These supernatural actions point to Jesus' superiority over John, that he would be indeed more than a prophet. He would be God himself in the flesh. Jesus would be the King of Kings who would deliver his people from the oppression of sin. Talk about a whirlwind of emotion. So obviously Mary didn't know that Jesus would be born as, she knew he was going to be born as King of Kings as the text tells us, but she didn't know that he was going to die for us. We know that she knew scripture, but I'm not sure if she would have known that prophecy at that time. Also notice Elizabeth's wrestling over Mary. She recognizes that the honor, what an honor has been that's been bestowed upon her dear cousin, for she would be the only woman to ever carry our Lord and Savior. Elizabeth is also the first person to recognize Jesus as our Lord. The Christ Center Expeditionary Commentary says, it's customary to think of the Apostle Peter, as being the first to recognize the deity of Christ. We think when the Lord asks Peter, I think it's in Matthew, he says, "Who do you say I am?" And then he says, "Lord, you are the Christ." But actually, in this instance, Mary was the first person ever to recognize Jesus as the Lord, because she said, "The only way I can know that, that you are Lord is the power of the Holy Spirit." And Paul gives us this commentary in 1 Corinthians. So this was not a manner of celebration of some random baby who was going to be born 9 months later. This was an earth-shattering moment. "For God to come and dwell among men and be a ransom for many." So my question for you this day is, where's your heart when you hear the Christmas story? Or when you tell the gospel of how Jesus lived, died, and rose again? I think for all of us, the story is a little convicting. Convicting in the sense, are we truly joyous over our Savior's coming and what it truly means for all of us, or do we brush it aside? We all should be joyful about the Savior's coming and his second coming. This is why we celebrate Advent. Yet we often don't, because we're worn down by life, we have sin issues, or we just have a ritual of going through the motions of Christmas. It's easy to do, especially in Christmas Eve services, and I love Christmas Eve, but in the 26 years that I've been on this earth, I can pretty much go to any church and exactly the same. The same passages, the same kind of format. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes ritual can get in the way of actually what's happening, what took place 2,000 years ago. Take Mary, for example. She didn't question God why she was to be conceived of a child, or conceive a child of the Spirit. She knew that that God had a plan for her life, and that the baby's life was going to be special. And then she literally ran with it. As we saw in the text, she literally ran with God's plan to see her cousin Elizabeth. So the application from this point for you this week in the Advent season is, reflect on God's plan for your life. He's created us all for a purpose, to know him personally as our Lord and Savior, and to make him known throughout the world. But we're all in the same boat regarding God's mission. Though the way we live out his mission may be different than how he gifted us, we have the same mission of sharing his name to the world. And this is why we should celebrate, that God will one day complete his mission in our lives and take us home. But for now, we should be faithful in joy and heeding to what God has called us to do, to tell the world about the reason for the season of Christmas, Jesus Christ. So this Christmas season, let us take some time to reflect on what God did through this miraculous baby boy 2,000 years ago, and reflect on how it's changed our lives. Because hopefully, we're changed through the Lord Jesus' power today. Because friends, if you're a true follower of our Lord, hopefully it's changed your life in every way. A life that is now hope-filled, and you see peace that surpasses all understanding. A longing hope of us one day meeting our Savior face to face. I love that old hymn that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full into his wonderful face, and one day we will see his wonderful face in person." I look forward to that. Regardless of everything that goes in our life, that's our eternal hope. And that's one thing we'll never change, that one day as believers, we have an assurance of salvation, we'll go home to see him. If you're struggling this Christmas season, for whatever reason, let that be a reminder to you. So I challenge you and want you to pray this week to reflect on God's goodness in your life and experience the joy this Christmas that God can only provide through his son, Jesus. Take some time this week and set aside some time to seek God. Seek God for reasons why that you may be not joyful this Christmas. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says, "I, the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads with the believers in harmony with God's own will." The Spirit knows where our hearts need cleansing and work the most. We just need to take action prayerfully, to ask him to help us with work in these areas. The Lord is willing to work in us. We just have to submit to his work in our lives. This takes a lot of faith and courage to trust God, but God will change our lives if we let him. I know this is hard, but he will change our lives if we ask him. So prayerfully consider reflecting on what God has done in your life, what he's doing in your life, and in those around you. Because you begin to see his goodness, which in return will hopefully help you see the Holy Spirit cultivate joy in your life. So our second point this morning is that Mary praises God for his goodness in her life and what he's done throughout history. While we looked at the miraculous joy and the proactive faith of Mary sharing the good news of the coming of Jesus, next we'll look at Mary's rejoiceful praise for what God had did in her life and what was happening in her life. In verses 46 through 35, Mary sings a song of rejoicing called God. This is actually called the Magnificat, and Dave Love pointed a fact out to me in Bible study the other day that this is actually a model of Hannah in the Old Testament, and I didn't actually realize that till the other day. Mary was a very serious student of Scripture, and so Mary modeled her prayers of a well-known woman in the Bible, you know, a Bible figure, and she was obviously rich in faith. She was saturated in God's Word. Her song is full of Old Testament references of God's goodness and carrying out his plan. Talk about a model for prayer. I know God hears us when we pray, but every single word in Mary's prayer right there of praise is an Old Testament reference. And I struggle with that when I pray to have words to say, but Mary obviously knew her Bible, or the Old Testament Bible. When nothing made sense in the world, God's word helps us make sense of it. And it's God's love. The Bible is God's love letter to us, and it's his roadmap for our life. Let us take heart the very words of God and apply them to our very lives this day, as Mary did many years ago. You don't have to memorize a lot of Scripture to have a deep relationship with Christ, and I'm not sure if she knew she memorized it, but she knew Scripture from reading. But spending time in the Word of the Lord strengthens our faith and our love for God. Scripture that Mary uses in her praise of God are testaments of God's goodness, God's goodness to his people. How often do you gloss over what God has done for us? Sadly, probably more than we should. But if we read our Bibles carefully, we'll see how good God is and how undeserving of his grace we are. This is over 1,000 pages of his goodness to us. We don't deserve any of it, but he chose us anyway. So just think about that this Christmas season, that God wrote his love story to us over 1,000 pages. And we know that the Apostle Paul wrote that, I think it's actually Luke, sorry, I should back up, that Jesus did many more things than what's recorded in the Bible. But what's important is what got recorded down, because this is God's word. But the Lord wrote 1,000 plus words that's eternal, his eternal word, that's our life story is written because of these words. But if we read our Bibles carefully, we'll see what God can do in our lives and how undeserving we are. And Mary recognized that too. I don't think Mary was praising God. I don't think this was like a one-time thing for Mary praising God. I know it's easy, like when God blesses us or something miraculous happens, like you might win the lottery, I don't know. Or you might get a new car. Or you might have a baby. Especially you'd praise God. But I think, just from studying commentaries and following what Mary's doing here, I think this was Mary's attitude towards God all the time, that she was a joyful and prayerful person. Mary praising God was a marvelous thing, but I think this is how she always praised him. I think this is also serve as a model on how we praise God, to give God thanks for who he is, what he's done in our lives, and what he will do. An application of this could be practically looking at the promises of God in the Bible and how God answers them. I know that I've been praying for a connection in the neighborhood to reach our neighbors, and it's interesting how God works and how he divinely appoints things. And it happened through a random Pampered Chef box yesterday. It's I guess a home meal thing, a meal kit, I don't know. But anyway, this box came to the door, and it was for our neighbor. And so I go down, and I knock on the neighbor's door. But you never know. I've been praying for God to give me a way to meet our neighbors, and that was the way. So be careful what you pray for. God will answer it one way or another. But it's just interesting, like, but on that moment, because I've been praying for God to give me a way in to meet my neighbors, but I'm going to write that down because of his faithfulness to answering my prayer. God answered it. And so that's the point here. Mary recalled God's goodness, not only in her own life, but in the story of the Bible. She remembered how God was faithful, and we should too. And this is something I'm going to start doing, because it's hard to see God at work in the moment when we only have a glimpse of the small picture of our lives. Yet when we pray, we are to trust God to move, and he will. Sometimes not in response to what we desire, because sometimes that's not what he wants for us. But seeing your prayers answered can help us often reflect on God's goodness, even the most difficult times of life. This Advent season is a season of hope, of remembering why Jesus came, to come as a baby born, to one day die for our sins on the cross. It's easy to get caught up, as I mentioned before, in celebrating Jesus as just a little baby boy. But the true reason he came was to die a death for us so we could have eternal life and put an end to the eternal punishment of sin. This is why we celebrate Christmas, not because of a little baby boy, but because of the man the baby boy would grow up to be and die for us. This is why we celebrate Christmas. So my question for you this morning is where you're at. Do you believe in God's goodness? How Jesus has touched your life? Hopefully he's touched your life and those around you. I know he's touched my life. And I challenge you this week to write down one thing that God has blessed you with or others in your life and share of your goodness with someone this week, because you don't know how much of a blessing that could be to someone else. Our third point this morning comes in verses 54 through 55. Mary praises God for his future goodness to his people. In verse 54 to 55, we read, "He has helped his servant Israel," he meaning God, "remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." In these two very verses, Mary sees God's goodness and realized that he would fulfill his promise in being faithful to his people once and for all. Mary longed for God to bring a Savior into the world, but little did she know then that her baby boy would one day grow up to save the world and would die for our Savior 33 years later from the time of his birth. Mary's longing for God's fulfilled salvation of Israel didn't just stop in hopeful longing. God would fulfill that hope, and she would be the vessel in which God would use to fulfill that hope. Not from physical oppression, as many wanted the baby to deliver them from, but something much more stronger, spiritual, and deeper than physical oppression, spiritual oppression and sin that God would deliver us from. Her baby boy would be that hope. Talk about an amazing answer to prayer. Mary didn't know that Jesus was going to be the Messiah. She knew that he was going to be special, but he'd one day, of course, reveal himself as the Messiah. And in this prayer, she prays that God would be faithful and that he fulfill his promise to Abraham, and he did by sending a Messiah. So talk about awesome answer to prayer. God knew what he was doing before she asked that prayer, but he did answer it anyway. And Mary is a great example of how we should live out our life in Scripture in every aspect of our lives, especially giving God praise for who he is, what he has done, and what he will do. We have every reason to be grateful this season because of the gift of Jesus. And I appreciate our sign out front that says, "Have the greatest gift of all this season, Jesus Christ." It's not just the baby that we celebrate this year, or this time of year, but the Savior that would die for our sins and give us eternal life. A life better now than we can imagine today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 is the true reason why we came as a baby boy. And it says that Christ came to die for us, to humble himself to death, even death on a cross for our sins. This is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 2. So think of yourselves this way. Think of yourselves this way, that Christ thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself, that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became a human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim such privileges. Instead, he lived a sinless, selfless, and obedient life, Then he died a selfless, obedient life, the worst kind of death of all, the death of crucifixion. Because of that obedience, the Apostle Paul is still speaking, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created things in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, would bow and worship before this Christ and call him praise that he is master of all, the glorious honor of God the Father. So we all should thank God for his goodness this Christmas, because God himself came down in the form of a baby boy. And that just blows me away, that God would come down. Like, God could have just, you know, just kind of could have been silent. And he said, well, whatever, these people messed up. But from the very beginning, from the time of Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, when humanity sinned in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, God had a plan from the beginning. And that plan is Genesis 3:16, that said that there'd be enmity, meaning, you know, kind of a war between Satan and God, and that the Son of God would, I'm paraphrasing, would come and strike the enemy's heel. And this baby boy would be that what it's talked about in Genesis, would come to put an end to Satan's power in this world. Of course, for sin, we know the Lord's coming back to restore our world, because our world's still broken, but we're free from the power of sin in Christ as he lives in our lives. So practically, how can we long to see God's goodness in our lives? We need to take time to understand the heart of the Father. This is one way we can do this. That God desperately loves us. He desperately brought us with a price. We had a price to pay to shed his blood. And God desperately wants us to share the good news of his Son with everyone we meet. For the first time, I think in a long time, I heard the words Merry Christmas. And it shouldn't be like that, folks. We know why we celebrate Christmas. But it was just interesting that I heard it from someone yesterday. I was like, you know, it's been like 5 years since I actually heard someone say it to me. So I challenge you this Christmas season, not just to say Merry Christmas, but to share it with the gospel. Because that's the reason why we celebrate today. You never know what kind of impact you can have in sharing your story about how God has changed your life. So I challenge you this week to share your story or this season in some way. Let us seek God's goodness by being his ambassadors, those around us, by meeting tangible needs of others in need and sharing the gospel. This then will hopefully help us see how good God really is. Praise God for how good he's been to us, even when we don't deserve it. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you that you came anyway. We didn't deserve you coming 2,000 plus years ago, but you came anyway because you loved us and had a plan from the beginning, as we read in Genesis and see your marvelous work throughout the Old and New Testament. But God, I pray that even when we don't feel good, or we don't physically or mentally about ourselves, I pray that we'd remember Scripture, God, that you've been faithful to us for 2,000 plus years, and you will be faithful for us forever, Lord. I love that new song by Elevation that says, faithful you are and faithful you ever will be. And God, that regardless of what happens, Lord, regardless if we somehow become persecuted for our faith here or whatever happens, God, we know that we have eternal hope in you, and that's what matters, and that's your goodness to us, Lord, that regardless of where we may be, maybe sick in the hospital, maybe alone at Christmas, but Lord, we can focus on the fact that you're good to us, Lord. And I know it's easy to get caught up in why things are wrong and why things are kind of chaotic in this world, but Lord, you came as a good and perfect king in the form of a baby boy 2,000 years ago. And that alone should give us hope, God, that you gave us hope in the form of a baby boy 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I pray that joy would be surpassing all emotions this season. Lord, I know that a lot of us have tough times in Christmas. It seems like, Lord, that I know in my life that a lot of loved ones have passed away around this season, or just issues or just fighting between family. But God, I pray that this Christmas season would be special. I pray that that we'd really see your joy move, not only in our church, but in our lives, God. I pray that you'd be talked about this season. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't see Merry Xmas anymore, but we'd say Merry Christmas, because you're the very reason why we celebrate Christmas. Your name is in the Word. And God, I pray that you just stir our hearts in the city to you to see a revival happen, Lord. And I pray that it'd be the Christmas season where this starts. And God, because you are King, you're Lord of Lords of our lives, and you're the Lord of this church, because this is your church. And God, I pray that, I know you've already been working in people's lives, but Lord, I pray that they just begin to bring people to hear about the reason why Jesus came, not only next Sunday, the week after that, but on Christmas Eve, where I pray that you'd bring people that don't normally come that would hear your word. And God, we anticipate you to move and do a great work among us, because you already have. You already are, and we know that you will. But Lord, we anticipate you to do good things. And God, I pray that we'd be that vessel in which you move. And Lord, I pray that anyone struggling today would know that you're good to them, regardless of what is going on, because you love us beyond all measure. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you for establishing this church, Lord, almost 80 plus years of ministry, God. And I know that you've got good things for us, Lord. But help us remind us in those small moments when things don't seem like they're going right, that you're still good and you got a plan. And Lord, I pray in all things we focus on you and turn our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.